So good evening, it's Vidyatara back again, taking over from Parami, who's having a night off because she's poorly, as are many of the college at the moment. We seem to be having a bit of illness here. But two people who are actually up and about, although one's about to fade, just barely, are with me at the moment. We've got Dhamma Dinner.
Hello.
And you can say hello.
Hello.
Nagabodhi.
Hello.
Who are joining me this evening on two sofas, sitting opposite each other, and I'm sat in the middle. And yes, we're going to have a bit of a chat about, well, start off with today, and then just get a sense of how they found the last few days as well. But firstly, what did you get up to today?
Today, last night and this morning, first part of the morning, we were visited by Mahaprabha, who's a bit of a business whiz, who came to talk with us and discuss with us topics we're talking about already, such as succession in the order and the movement, and in a way, how we structure our college meetings if and when and the college gets bigger, which it probably will.
Yeah.
And then he came up with some quite interesting things, I've tried to remember, about, you know, does everyone need to be in the room at the same time to talk about everything, or are there ways that we you can work out what's appropriate for whom? And I think that's quite interesting for us as a college.
How did you find it, Margaret?
Well, he was great fun and very stimulating to be around. I mean, Dhamma Dinner referred to him as a business whiz. For people who don't know who he is, he's an order member who lives in London, or as he described himself, he lives in London and the Isle of Skye.
Sounds nice,
doesn't it? Yes, yeah. He has a place up there. But he's professor of business studies, as far as I know, at the London
Business School.
Business School, with a quite a stellar career in business. So he knows what he's talking about and has all the lingo, some of the jargon, which I think he was trying desperately to avoid. And he's just got that quality of being extremely creative and inventive in his mind and interested, finding himself among us lot. He was the one who was meant to be jet-lagged, having flown in from New York yesterday afternoon. But he seemed to be about 10 times more awake than half of us, going down with colds. But very interesting to just explore, you know, what, in a way, take it back to some basics of what the college is, what it's for, you know, what is our position as leaders? Are we leaders or look to be leaders? Are we, Dhamma Dinner's mentioned, the different specialities that we bring with us. Some public preceptors are specialists, if you like, in the ordination process because they live at Tiruvannamalai or Padmaloka. Others of us don't. And perhaps bring to the college more of a wider view of the movement. And are, if you like, although we do act as public preceptors and probably most of us do have things to do with GFR work, we perhaps bring something of our experience of Bhante and the movement's history to our discussions. So we just explored a whole range of ways in which we perhaps work as gatekeepers or custodians of the vision, or just as working preceptors.
The whole leadership thing is very interesting, isn't it? Because it's certainly, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, the Area Order Weekend. And I know it's been coming up in the college because there's been discussion in the European Chairs, but also the International Council meeting about, you know, the college and leadership.
It's a word which strikes fear into some, a word which sometimes was not very comfortable with. Cause, so I think we do need to unpack what it means, and I don't think we did that fully. I mean, we often go back to talking about influence and Kalyanamitrata, but I think there's another dimension to it, which you have to unpack a bit more what that means for us in a spiritual community.
Because there is something in particular that you guys do model, isn't there, in terms of, you know, Bhante's, the way in which he's talked about or translated the Dharma, because it's more than just the doctrine, I mean, it's the way the doctrine flows through various. He's put together the institutions as well. Yeah. So you've got the three C's.
Yeah,
yes.
He sees the college as the guardians of the order. Mm. What is it? Not the keystone of the.
The keystone of the architecture of the in the architecture of the movement.
Of the three strands. Yes. So you know that we have a special place in all that. But what that means.
And what it means now with the emergence of the International Council, with a very coherent body of chairs and so on. Yeah. So, you know, it to what extent is our leadership, if you want to call it that, a sort of an interface with the working day-to-day life of the movement, or is it more to do with what we model?
Yeah.
How we befriend, how we influence. You know, while at the same time, inevitably, our work as public preceptors, where we're deciding absolutely down on the ground if person A is ready for ordination, that has to include discussions as to what they've come out of, what kind of a training they've had, and what they're going back into.
Well, I mean, there's certainly the integrity of the system, the ordination system, and actually things like suspension and expulsion depends on a unified voice in the college, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, it has to be. In that sense, there has to be unity and one faith, if you like.
He did talk a little bit, didn't he, about different styles of leadership from the back and from the front. I can't remember much more about that, but different things are appropriate in different situations in different times.
Yeah.
So it's still a discussion we need to unpack more.
Well, I mean, it is interesting because, you know, Tri Ratna is a new Buddhist movement. Oh. It's never been done before. So, you know, that movement from the founder to what happens next.
Yes.
I mean, in many ways, you're also breaking, you're pioneering.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. One little slice of one of the discussions involved the whole question of elders. Because some people are noticing that some of us, quite a lot of us, are getting quite old. So we're working to bring people into the movement, into the order, at an earlier age. But we're also thinking, do we move forward the age at which people hopefully are expecting to become private preceptors, even public preceptors? Which raises a question of, you know, do we want elders who are in their 40s, or is there a value in having elders who are in their 70s and 80s? And because we're a new movement, it's only just beginning to emerge as a question, because very few of us, well, some of us are beginning to hit our 70s.
Yes. Not quite yet.
We're still at that stage where we can have that as an almost academic discussion.
But
very soon we will have the question of, you know, people in their 70s, 80s, maybe 90s. You've got a lot of acquired wisdom.
So we sort of started off, didn't we, thinking more about bringing on young people, and because all of us, probably most of us in the room, well, the average age in the room is 60, we thought around 60, some older, some younger, a bit younger. So we started talking about that as though we would move somewhere, old folks' home somewhere. Yeah. And, you know, Mahaprabhu had said in one of the companies he was involved in, people would retire at 55.
Yeah.
So that was in the mix, wasn't it? And then we came back, and I think Subhuti also said, well, maybe, you know, we need to... Yeah, it's good to have elders who are... You know, they've been practising all that time. They may be 70, 80, but they've just got a lot to offer. But they may not be doing the same things as they did when they were 40, 50 or 60 in terms of energy output and whatever. But the spiritual length of time in the order and spiritual maturity, I guess,
will be there. Though that conversation butts into another one, which is the world that we grew up in.
Mm.
You know, children of the 60s. Well, not children, adolescents of the 60s. You know, who were able to, particularly in the UK anyway, give up jobs, you know, live on the dole maybe, while we built a movement and lived together and did all this stuff done. So our experience, you know, we have a lot of experience of practice and so on, but we don't necessarily have experience of the kind of movement that people are going to be living in, as so many people come out of college with student debt, needing to get jobs. You know, in some ways, you know, new generations of people are going to have to build a movement that suits them, just as to some extent we built one that suited us.
Yeah.
But hopefully the spiritual dimension of our experience will.
Yeah.
Some of it will be generic, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, it is striking, I guess, particularly when we were doing the rejoicings that evening, well, rejoicing in Padmasuri and then rejoicing in Dhammarati.
And Manjivadra.
Not everybody, but a lot of people have just go back in this group. Of people.
Yeah.
You know, we've known each other for.
Good to think.
30, 35, 70, early 70s.
Mm.
Long time.
I've known you about 42, 43
years. Yeah. So, you know, that comes out in that situation of rejoicing in each other's merit because you get stories from the past. And, you know, we created the movement together or co-created it with Bente and, you know, we have lived together and worked together and done all kinds of things together, been on different projects together. And so, yeah, we know each other very well in different combinations. And I guess we wonder how is another generation coming along behind us who, you know, maybe don't have the freedom to just live together in a squat or something.
Yeah.
How are they going to create the same intensity of communication, friendship and so on? As there's less of those institutions, as it were, you know, available.
Yeah.
And Windhorse has just disappeared, you know, so things like that.
We take as a bit of a given.
Yeah.
We have to make a kind of mental adjustment to recognise it can't be like that.
Yeah.
It can't be normative in the way it was in our era. Who knows, maybe new, you know, there will be a generation that surprises, but...
Yeah,
but it's also interesting too. So Windhorse, and if you have a look at, you know, its business model, what it was selling, you know, the sorts of things it was selling, that's, you know, it's moving out. Mm. But the things that are doing well, the second-hand shops now.
Yes.
It's more,
yes.
You know, things, it's arising and passing, isn't
yes,
it? And
yes,
actually...
Yeah.
You know, in some ways, things like llamas, pyjamas, and these were a bit ahead of the curve. They, you know, and, you know, in other countries, what's taking off too are the second-hand shops. I mean, it's reflecting more
the
culture and the
times,
social culture that it's...
I guess the thing about those initiatives, great as they are, and, you know, llamas, pyjamas in particular makes a lot of money that it gives to the movement.
Its
Windhorse was just so... involved so many people. It was a kind of total...
Mm.
Community wasn't a lifestyle, and it took people from abroad and so on. And that's a great loss to the community as a whole, not just in UK, Ireland, but worldwide, really.
Mm. Sure. Oh, goodness,
So, who knows? You know, it was hard to imagine back in its real heyday, but maybe that was late 90s or 2000s when it had so many shops. And it's hard to imagine. Everybody who came to Tea Around the Local, I was there, practically everybody lived in the community, worked in a shop and lived in the community, or worked in Windhorse in the warehouse, and it was hard to imagine that that would ever go.
Mm.
But yeah, things arise, things pass, and things arise. It's true, and we have to.
Yeah.
Suppose we just have to encourage people to find their own way. We're not going to do those things, are we now?
And I suppose it's the principle, isn't it? It's
how
are people going to express that principle?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the super personal force, in a way, was talking about. Okay, so there are a range of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
That create intensity.
Yeah.
You know, how are you going to do that?
But I mean, I'm a trustee of the Windhorse Trust, so I mean, I'm certainly not. Don't get me wrong. I lament the passing of Windhorse, but also when I look back to the 70s when I was involved in setting up the Croydon Centre, and we set up a restaurant, a Whole Food shop, a light removal business, a decorating business. There was no Windhorse to kind of, as it were, just hand us.
Mm.
Money,
a business, and the expertise.
We
just, a bunch of us got together, and Jyoti Parlour knew how to paint, so we had a decorating business, and so on. So I kind of think maybe the death of Windhorse, you know, will unleash, you know, a kind of will force forward some creativity and ideas. And I mean, they don't have to be, probably they can't be low budget ideas. Thinking of, say, Sue Nanda and Vera Chitta starting the Birmingham
Centre
by setting up a computer, an IT consultancy.
Yeah.
There's no reason why it has to be low
capital,
low budget. It could be a bunch of people with, you know, very professional skills deciding, we're Buddhists, let's work together.
Well, even I suppose, in Cambridge now, the real estate business, that ethical real estate.
Yes.
You know, it's another example of...
Yes, yes, yeah, exactly.
You know, reading what, you know, people are responding to now and meeting that that need.
Yeah, yeah, and who knows what else will emerge. So, yeah, maybe, you know, there's at least a silver lining to the...
But it's interesting, isn't it? It's that thing about there are principles that have been laid down.
Yes. Yes, those things like communities, centres and...
Yeah. Cooperatives.
Team-based red There's strategies for developing the superpersonal force or developing coexistence of will, sangha, all those things. It's, they're all strategies, aren't they? Valuable as they are, important as they are. But new strategies.
But I think, in a sense, what's important is that, you know, the things you were talking about, which is that spiritual maturity.
Yeah.
That's it. That, you know.
Offer that.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, hopefully something of what we learned doing what we did will be relevant.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, hopefully our practice and our knowledge of the Dharma, but hopefully something of our immersion in a particular approach to lifestyle will be... Well, I'm sure it will be useful because we found our way of applying, you know, Bhante's maxim that it's neither monastic nor lay. We had our solution for our era.
Yeah.
People are going to have to find theirs.
So that wasn't all we talked about. We, you know, we've gone off into a discussion here based on what we talked about last night and this morning, haven't we?
Yeah.
But that, you know, leads into all those topics, doesn't it, really? Leadership and what have you. One of the things that Mahaprabha that struck me was who needs to be in the room for what, and he outlined different kinds of conversation. So he talked about what was it, making sense of something, sort of brainstorming, kind of an open communication, which could involve everybody, and then you come to choices, making choices around those things, which might be different people, other people. You come to commitments where you're really going to take that forward. That could be, you know, other people from that whole mix. And then I think the last one was looking back and seeing what you've learned. So I found that quite interesting in terms of a group of people in the college who do have quite different responsibilities. We share responsibility of ordination, which is very common and, you know, resonates with all of us. But how we put that into practice is quite different, and also people are quite different in terms of character. So some people find strategic discussions, they've sort of left the room even if they're there. And we're just trying to find ways of working with the kind of material we need to talk about that includes the right people at the right time, the right discussion, so nobody feels
surplus to alienated.
And I think there's quite a lot we could do in that area to college progress.
Yeah, which also butts into a question of how long do we meet for? Do we all need to be here all the time?
Yeah,
because some people, well, most of us are busy in one way or another. We've always had, I think, an idea that just spending time together in itself is important because we're building community.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's true, isn't it? Yeah, that's very true.
So I think there's a kind of, some people are kind of, would be keen to just eke out another, get a day or two less.
Yeah.
But actually mainly I think people are concerned to know they're using the time as well and as productively as they can, you know, rather than finding themselves spending a lot of time in a room where they're mainly passive while you know, the strategists all get excited together or, you know, whatever. So... You know, it feels like, I guess too, and I imagine this has come up in earlier conversations, you know, that this is also a time when we have a new chair. In the college, is a very different kind of chair, you know, internally and externally to Dhammarati. So,
so, of course, the new chair is Sataloka.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's in some ways, I think that he's finding his feet and we're finding our feet in terms of, you know, how he's going to direct our conversation. So I think it's probably been a well-timed discussion having Mahaprabha here now. I don't know that it was set up in response to the changeover of chair. I don't think it was.
No, it was more to do with succession.
Yeah, it was succession planning.
Yeah.
But yes, it is interesting to have it at that particular time with this, because it is a change, isn't it? Because it was almost like, you know, the last 5 years of the Amorati have been very focused on organisation development. Things like the International Council. I mean, it's that thing of, it was, you know, setting up for that transition in response to Banti saying there needs to be a way for the three strands to come together and to coordinate. And it's almost like that's done, and now there's this, you know, what does being guardian of the legacy mean? And that's more that ordination focus again.
Yes, again, on the back of things like the commonality paper, and not to mention the responses to the commonality paper.
Sure.
And, you know, we are moving into a new era.
It's almost like it, you know, ordination was, you know, up to the training for, and almost there's this, you know, that's now broadened to training and now post ordination training, which is where you like the commonality.
Yes, and which, you know, interestingly ties in, at least on the men's side, with some, you know, some changes which I think are relatively subtle but maybe not subtle. I still can't work it out in the Guhiloka course, you know, which is being turned more into an order course than an ordination course. You know, so yeah, perhaps that is, you know, that's another way in which that's manifesting.
And that's certainly, you know, Sadaloka's strengths. I mean, he's been at Padmaloka for the last 20 years, hasn't he?
Something like that.
Yeah. So he brings all that experience with him to the chair, which is very different from Damarati, who, you know, says himself he hasn't had much training in the going for refuge retreats process. I mean, he's, you know, been to Guhiloka on retreats. But, so it's very different quality of experience brought to that position, really. And then we've got two new deputies. Is that out and about in the...
It will be tomorrow.
Ethos.
Yes. there'll be something going out tomorrow, so you can say.
We've got Ratnadarani as the women deputy chair, and Paramabandhu as the men's deputy chair, and Amrit Deep
as the
Indian Kula.
That's
right. So it is a shift, a complete shift in those positions, as it were.
Yeah.
And we'll see how that goes. I mean, it was very painless. Deciding who would be the deputies.
It was just as it was deciding on the chair year ago.
Yeah.
It was extraordinarily easy and speedy.
Yeah.
You know, names were thrown into a hat, we all went off into small groups, came back an hour later, and all.
So it's a very strong coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah.
Will and consensus. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
But it will be very different, question. You know, Damarati has such a particular configuration of talents and interests, which kind of seem to cover pretty much everything.
Including book covers.
And there's a lovely new one out.
Exactly, I was just going to say, a plug for Subhuti's new book.
Called The Mind in Harmony, Mind in Harmony.
Mind in Harmony, with a beautiful book cover.
From
Damarati.
Yes.
I can tell you, he spent many hours working over, particularly the way the font looked.
Moving it a tenth of an inch this way, then a tenth of an inch that way.
It made all the difference.
Yes. Sadaloka like an introvert, as compared with Damarati's extroversion, isn't he? And sometimes a little hard to
to read,
work out, but he's got a very, very wry and a very, very funny sense of humour, actually.
We had our first budget meeting with him, and at the end of it, Bodhi Kotu said, you wouldn't want to play poker with him.
No, that's true.
But very lovely nature. Yes, absolutely. Very lovely nature, actually.
But you can't read.
But when he wants you to, I mean, I've seen him roused. And he does get roused, and he feels things very strongly. He's certainly no walkover.
No. We're just thought he kept his counsel very well.
We're in safe hands, as it were.
Yeah.
And Ratnadarani, a very good thinker, very clear, very good on principles, lots of ideas, and also able to carry things through.
Yeah, and the experience she's had at Te Ratnaloka as well for many 15 years.
Yeah. Parambandhu.
Chairman of the London Buddhist Centre.
Well,
lived there for.
Yeah.
He's been part of the London Buddhist Centre scene for maybe
20 years. Mm. Yeah. So more of a centre influence, isn't it? Into, you know, that movement background. Being in a chairs meeting, which is, you know, valuable to have that kind of perspective. So.
And one of the newer generation. Because he's only been...
He's been here a couple of years.
Yeah.
A couple of years, you know, very, very... what's the word I'm thinking of? Can't think of the word. Competent, something like that. He's very competent. Quite wise. Mm. Clear thinking.
Very modest. He's sort of carries it so lightly. Sits there like, you know, he's saying, I'm a new boy. I'm a new, and you get that sort of vibe of him, but actually he's...
Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of good work with the chairs assembly.
Yeah. So I think they'll be a good team, interesting team. We'll see how they...
We'll see how they go.
From our Olympian heart. Or is it age?
Sitting there with our coffee and cake.
Feels very good. Yeah. You need to transition, don't you? You need to hand on the chair. You need to, you can't help but give something your own stamp and personality and character. And, you know, Dalmarati's been fantastic. We rejoice in it very thoroughly. But, you know, things need to change so that something else can come into being amongst us, I think.
And the highlight of this meeting thus far?
Cream tea with Dhamma dinner this afternoon at the kettle scene.
The kettle scene. Okay. That was our highlight, wasn't it? I had a Victoria sandwich. He had a scone and jam and cream. Both had chai lattes, which we enjoyed very much.
I think probably the evening of the handover.
Yeah, it was.
The rejoicing in merit for Dhamarati was just a wonderful thing to witness and to hear, actually. And from where I was sitting in the shrine room where we had the little ritual where Dhamarati took the initiation vase off the shrine, handed it to Sataloka, who placed it back on the shrine, there was a look on Dhamarati's face of such glee, of such sort of, you know, happiness, and you know, the happiness, I think, of a job.
Well done.
Well, it wasn't just of getting rid of a job. Yeah. It was, he just looked so happy at that moment. It was, it was very, very nice to watch, and then to hear what, you know, everyone, a lot of people spoke. I mean, it went on for a good long time, as it should, and it was just really lovely. It is in those situations to just. In a sense, to bask in someone else's good qualities. Yeah. It's a lovely thing to do. That's a beautiful aspect of our world.
It is.
We do that.
Mm. I think that was my highlight. And the rejoicing in merits in Padmashri and Manjubhadra also, which was also, you know, very full, wasn't it? And very delightful. Different.
So, yeah.
You know, rejoicing in Padmashri is standing in as deputy chair for ten years. And Manjubhadra retiring from the college, you know, no longer going to be with us in this capacity. A very, very full rejoicing in his merits, which was lovely. He was very, I texted him the next day, and he was very, very happy with it and enjoyed the evening very much.
Yeah. And we had Punyamala join.
Punyamala joined the college, yes. That's great to have her in our kula. I mean, we know her from the women's kula pretty well, obviously. But, yeah, she's a quiet, steady thinker. You know, she thinks things through. She doesn't rush to conclusions. And she brought some good things to our discussions.
She's a surprising person too, because I mean she spoke about it a bit, but also I was in Sheffield when she invited you to move to Sheffield, and that she has a side which is, in a way, for somebody who's very, very grounded. You know, it's almost a characteristic. The first characteristic you notice is someone who's thoughtful and grounded, but actually she's got quite a magical ritual dimension to her experience, you know, which could take one, including her, by surprise. So she brings something, I think, quite special to the college. Now, very, very good to see her here.
And so the next...
So I'm leaving
a couple
tomorrow.
Of days. Oh, you're leaving
I'm
tomorrow?
I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm leaving a bit early. I've got a lift out with Paramabandhu. I have to go back to work. I'm going home.
Yeah.
And next thing for me is coming back here.
Yes.
Do some study with the young women. I'll be back soon.
Fantastic. And you're going to be here for the next couple of days. We're going to have the pleasure of your company for the business meeting.
Yes, you will. I'll be here until Wednesday night. I have a meeting in London, hence I will be missing the tidy up, I'm afraid. I'm very sorry I didn't plan it that way. But you're thoroughly enjoying it.
I think it's been a very good college meeting, actually. I've really enjoyed it.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah, I think because it's been a little bit, in some respects, dominated by this changeover, and even the discussions like the ones we've talked about of changing times. You know, it's not felt as if we sat here making big decisions, or we haven't. Yes, Sabuti led 2 days of study and discussion, but it wasn't like he was delivering a new paper, or we didn't discuss direct pointing, or, you know, it's not been that kind of meeting. Yeah. But I think it's been quite quite a forming meeting.
Mm.
Lots of things looking to go away ourselves. And think about and come back to the next meeting with some thoughts about all this stuff about succession and leadership and influence and shape of the college, things that we can come to, you don't need to rush, but we can think it through.
Well, hopefully we'll have all recovered from our colds.
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
We'll be ready for another one.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
See you very soon for the Young Women's Study.
You'll see me here for the President's meeting.
In a few weeks' time. Yeah. Fantastic.
Which I will also be at.
Oh, all good.
Right. Good. I might as well move in now.
Well, I keep saying you must move in. We've got a place for you. We've got that on tape now.
I like living in London. I like living in London in my community.
Okay. Right. Good night. And I think we may have Parami back with you tomorrow night. Possibly with Damari. Oh, no, with Sabuti. Actually, it's me talking to Sabuti and Parami. So until then, good night.